Hello, friends and neighbors. This is Dave Slusher. This is Evil Genius Chronicles for Saturday, September 18th, 2004. EvilGeniusChronicles.org is the website that is affiliated with this, or really, I guess technically, this audio blog is affiliated with the website. But either way, that's your resource. It's a overcast, you know, kind of warm, but not sunshiny day here in Conway, South Carolina, as we are between the storms. And no more about storms. I'm sick of talking about hurricanes and crap like that. So I won't. It's day two, really, of the BitTorrent experiment. Yesterday, around lunchtime, I published a BitTorrent for the previous day, for Thursday's audio blog feed. And it kind of worked. I didn't know exactly what I was doing. I had to download the BitTorrent Python files to the server box, started up a tracker, and kind of did all that kind of fun stuff. Had to figure out how to create the torrent in the first place, published it, you know, did the link. And so people actually got it down, it worked. And then last night when I did the audio blog for that, I did it as an experiment. I published it as a BitTorrent, and then a couple hours later I put it up as the normal, you know, link to an MP3 file, you know, and also so it was the enclosure feed. So for the first few hours or so, the only way you could get it was as a BitTorrent. And I sort of like that as an experiment, and I think I'll do that, continue doing that for the time being. It's interesting. I was just using, so somewhere along the line, like I was saying yesterday, I don't particularly want to set the seed up on my server box, because I don't want that to have to use the bandwidth for that box. I mean, that's kind of a wash. You know, I gain where, other people now are kind of co-seeding. But what I'd like to do is just have the original seed, you know, where it's feasible, just be running on my home box, because, you know, that's not my upload from my home through my home cable, Time Warner cable modem. That's not metered in any way, you know. I have a cap, and I can serve that cap, and there is no financial implication to that, I guess, unless they tell me I'm violating a term of service or some crap like that. But until that point, I'd just as soon rather use the home bandwidth for the seeding. And so, I was just trying a few different things. Because I have multiple different machines that I was experimenting with, you know, I have to set my home router to forward ports to specific machines, right? So I've got one external IP address, and so you're supposed to route ports 6881 through 6889 to your machine. Problem is that I have more than one machine that was serving out the BitTorrents. So things were a little bit funky, and I wasn't quite exactly sure of all the implications of that. So I had like 688, I had them alternating, like the evens were going to my laptop and the odds were going to my Linux box or something like that. And things never quite worked right. So I could see people trying to get things down, and I was not seeding out, and it was a little bit of a mess until I finally just set everything to the laptop, and I found through seeing the user agent in people who were trying to download the BitTorrents was this Azurius, this Java-based BitTorrent client that tonight when I publish I'm gonna try to do the whole thing through it. I had used the Mac OS X Tomato Torrent client to create the torrent files for the first two. This time I'm going to try to see if I can just use Azurius to, you know, create the torrent and do the seed and all that stuff, kind of, you know, in a one-stop shopping, do the initial seeding and see how it works. I like it a lot better than, say, Tomato Torrent, which has that paradigm I really dislike about a lot of the BitTorrent clients, which is the one window is a one window per download / upload. So you start one and you download it, and now you're serving it out to other people. But you have to keep that window open. You know, killing that window is the thing that stops it. Well, that's really kind of a cluttery, pain in the ass interface design, and a clumsy, I think, kind of way to interact with this. And what I like about Azurius is it's got the nice two-pane display, and so it's very easy to have multiple things downloading and/or uploading at the same time without being a real management problem. You get one nice little window that you can look at and minimize and maximize. And so I'm really liking this. And so I haven't done the full life cycle with the Azurius yet, but we'll see how that goes. I can see right now, even as I'm recording this, you know, I'm serving out, you know, most of my upstream bandwidth is going out. I can see we've got, looks like we got 5 people seeding the Friday audio blog entry and 2 other people other than me seeding the Thursday. And people seem to think it's kind of funny when I refer to this all as the having the same kind of dynamics as the Amish barn raising, which it, you know, a lot of cool people that are listening to this are turning out to be pretty cool because, you know, a lot of people are more than willing to, you know, download the BitTorrent and then, you know, leave the window open. So people have been saying that they'll leave it open for a day or so. So I thank you all. And my server bill thanks you all. Somewhere on the iPod or dev, I remember somebody within the last few days was asking about a PayPal tip jar, which, you know, I don't know if I'm going to do that for this, because that's not really the scope I'm working in, because, you know, I would much rather work from the angle of trying to get some form of sponsorship than, you know, kind of begging for nickels from the individual listeners. And in general, I just like that model better because, for one thing, I don't want y'all to have to pony up. You know, you're already generating, you're already donating to the cause, you know, 20 minutes of your attention a day on average. And, you know, I think that's plenty from you. I don't need your cash as well. But if you don't mind subletting, you know, 15 or 30 seconds of that attention per episode to somebody else who's paying some bills, then I think that's the way to go. You know, as long as you stay under that point where there's so much noise that your signal gets drowned out, and that would be like, you listen to your typical morning show radio show where there's 20 minutes of the hour is commercials. Well, it gets, you know, that's kind of nonsense. But, you know, like a, you know, an NPR underwriting style thing where you have 1 30-second announcement, you know, in a 20-30 minute show, that's to me is a pretty good balance. You know, we did this in Reality Break where we'd have 1 underwriting announcement in the show, and forget what we charged for that. I think it was like $100 a week for the 30-second announcement. And, you know, and it was actually, this sounds to me like a lot, but, you know, and it seemed like a lot at the time. And we were on, I mean, at our high water point, this was a small, always a small production. It was 8 stations. But, you know, it had a potential listenership of, you know, 10 million because one of the stations was in Manhattan. It seemed like a little bit of money, but, you know, that $100 a week for the places that, most of the places, you know, Dueling Modems felt it because they were like a startup at the time. But like the book companies that that were sponsoring us, that was so low as to, you know, they sneezed that off the table, right? It didn't really matter that much to them. And so it was almost like, you know, it funded us and it was like magic disappearing money to them. I mean, they didn't notice it going out the door. So, you know, in general, that's the way I prefer. I have no particular plans to put a PayPal tip jar up anytime soon. If you do really feel like you want to do your part, you can always click a Google ad or 3. If you're going to do that, don't click any ads that you don't care about. That actually helps make things better. If you see something that interests you on one of those Google ads, follow it, you know, and don't follow the things you don't care about. But, you know, I get, I don't know, anywhere from a dime to like $3 per one of those. You know, remember in Mossage's audio blogging manifesto, he was talking about how bad it was that you can't index the text. That's, in some context, that's actually a good case because Google hunts you down if you talk about the specifics of Google ads. But I'll bet if you put it in an audio blog, it would take a long time, possibly forever, for them to find out about it. I'm not really going to push my luck on that, but if I wanted to talk some specifics that would get me, you know, cut off from the program, I would probably do it in here and try to keep it off of the text radar. But, I'm not going to push my luck, but I do all right on them. Nothing that would snap anyone's heads back, but actually I make a little more money on those Google ads than I would have thought. But, you know, it's negligible in pretty much any way that you slice it up. Got an email from August Tromer. And he's the guy that runs one of the scraping websites, HTML Buffet, I think is what he said. And so he's one of the guys that contributes to the iPod or dev mailing list. And he kind of felt like my comments yesterday about scraping and kind of the implications, you know, what it what it does for you on the publisher side if somebody's creating a scraped feed. He thought that my comments were kind of directed straight at him, and I should have gone directly to him, which is kind of how I felt about Adam Curry and the bug reports and getting closures. So I know where he's coming from. In point of fact, it was definitely not directed straight at him because I've never seen his site. And it was really kind of directed to the general scraping conversation on iPod or Dev, which, I'll be honest, I have not sent those messages like really well in the sense of trying to get a good handle and understand everything on them. I've at best skimmed them because I just haven't had time to sit down and really... So, definitely, Augustus was not, you know, I was not trying to hammer you specifically. It was really actually, I think the iSpider guys were talking about it, and that was mostly what I was thinking about. And I don't want anyone to think that I'm hammering anyone individually. And in fact, by and large, especially considering that a lot of us are kind of writing scripts, in if you thought about it in a specific way, a lot of people that are doing work on this iPod platform stuff could be thought to be in competition with each other. But, you know, I don't think any of us feel like that. I mean, there are people who are doing scripts that, you know, we all kind of fill the same ecological niche. You know, starting with Adam Curry and, you know, everybody that's come behind and, you know, myself and Ray Sliskinski with Pi Potter and iSpider and, you know, the iPodder for Windows. And we're all kind of doing the same thing. And I'm actually really pleasantly surprised, like, how well everybody is kind of working together. Andrew Grummet, you know, he has his script. And so everybody's just kind of taking the ideas from each other, and we're kind of freely stealing back and forth. And I'm happy, you know, if anybody finds anything of value in mine. I'd like to think that the thing I have injected in all this is, you know, getting people thinking about cache management and doing what you can to not download things, you know, as well as possible, including the RSS feed. So that's the thing that I try to keep everybody thinking about. But, you know, I know that my script has a short lifetime, and it might already be up. I played a little with iSpider today, which I liked a lot about it. It had the installer, the Mac OS X package installer. I would have liked a little more explicit, having it explicitly tell me what it was doing. Like, it set up an hourly cron job to run, which I didn't know about, and, you know, I wouldn't have set it to run every hour. In fact, I didn't like that. And once I figured out that that's what's happening, I changed it. But it would have been nice, you know, to have some sort of, you know, how often would you like it? Some sort of, like, a dialogue that interrogates you about what you want to happen. But by and large, the thing I like about it is it works with the BitTorrent feed, so that's killer. And damn if it didn't get my own BitTorrents down, and so I really dug that. You know, that's all pretty cool, and I'll play with that a little more and see how that goes. But somewhere, you know, I consider the script that I wrote and all these kind of things that we're talking about, and I consider it all like a giant proof of concept prototype. And hopefully what will come out of the iPod or Dev is a single unified thing that we can all kind of get to and all work on, and then have this one thing that goes out and is just killer and is so good and so polished and cross-platform enough that this one thing will go out and be the gold standard. And like, all, I don't know how many of us there are now, 50 or 100 of us that are kind of into this, you know, will have helped birth this whole new interaction. You know, kind of like what Mark Topham, like what he was talking about yesterday with the essay that he wrote, kind of creating this, you know, kind of shadow radio system that exists outside of the FCC and, you know, similar agencies at other countries, where we can fill that role without any of the downsides of that, without being regulated, without without synchronicity, you know, being required, you know, where you can get a very high very high rate, very high bandwidth thing, but because it comes down asynchronously, you know, you can get it on a slow connection. It just affects how much you can get down, but not that you can get it down. asynchronous bundles of passion, the iPod platform. So, you know, the thought of being part of this, you know, the more I think about this, just the more excited I get about this mode of interaction. There's just such a world of possibility, you know. I feel kind of like, you know, I feel kind of like someone, you know, in 1920 might have felt about radio. Like, holy crap, look at all that can be done with this, you know. And so I am just so pleased with this community of people that's springing up about out and around this idea. And, you know, I'm just so pleased to be a part of this. I am absolutely digging this. And, you know, I'm pleased as a developer, I'm pleased as a user of the platform, and I'm pleased as somebody who's putting out stuff for other people to listen to, and the by and large people are listening. It just, it is rocking. And so I saw somebody, somebody has registered podcasting.net, and I saw a podcaster, or podcaster.net, and I saw a podcaster as a user agent, you know, hitting my RSS feed. And I went and looked at it, and right now it's just a coming soon page, but I'm going to pay attention to that. I want to see who's got that and what they're doing. But that term, I think they've coined the term. So iPod platform just doesn't, you know, spring from the tongue. But what I'm doing right here, and what Adam's doing, and what Dave Weiner is doing, and what IT Conversations are doing, that's podcasting. I think that is the term. I am using that from here on out, you know. So I am a podcaster, and they are podcasters, and I am podcasting right now. And you listen to my podcast. Fucking A. I'd like to know who this is, because you are one brilliant bastard. God damn, that's a good term. So that's, you know, it's sexy enough. That's the thing with this iPod stuff, is the iPod as an item, as an artifact that people use, it's a sexy thing. It's a little white plastic, but it's sexy. And so I always feel when you're doing this stuff on the iPod platform, I feel like just the ideas and the terminology, that's got to be sexy too. And that term is the first sexy term that I've heard, you know, used around this. You know, none of the terms that I was coining, none of them are that sexy. This term rocks. So that's podcasting. As far as I'm concerned, podcasting is it. Fait accompli. Decision done. We're there. And, you know, I've noticed because I have my Technorati plugin on my Blossom, and, you know, I have that dynamic referrers list, I keep a pretty good idea of people who are linking to my weblog. And so I kind of get mentioned in the same breath as Dave Weiner and Adam Curry in a lot of this, which, you know, I would be, you know, by far the annoying little brother of those guys. You know, I'm the cousin, and they're like, hey guys, wait for me. But I'm very, very pleased to be, like, mentioned in that company. But so I see people kind of that are coming around to this, and, you know, Topham was one, but I've seen a dozen or so articles and weblog things much like that, where somebody was interested in what this had to offer, you know, got one of the scripts, started it up, you know, found themselves listening to the stuff, you know, on their commute or on their iPod as they're driving to work or riding a train to work. And as they talk about us, what the three of us are doing, you know, the kind of audio blogging, pseudo radio style of interaction, there's a phrase that pops up almost verbatim from almost every one of those posts, and it is more interesting than it sounds. And that's almost uniform. Every one of these things says, it's just one dude, you know, kind of talking about whatever, you know, wanky thing he is interested in, but it's more interesting than it sounds. And I don't know if that's damning with faint praise or not, but that seems to be pretty much the gold standard of the way people are talking about this. And again, you know, about things I'm pleased with, I guess I'm pleased to be more interesting than I sound. I can live with that. Better than being less interesting than you sound, right? So, you know, and I thank everybody that's been linking. And you know, a while ago, I thought it was really funny when I found my weblog, you know, was listed in blog shares, which, you know, a lot of them are. I guess I don't know how they get added to it. I'm sure that it just got crawled and added automatically. But I found people that had bought and sold my weblog. And what was funny is that most of the people, and this was maybe 8 months ago, most of the people that had done it took a huge bath, because I think they bought it like right around the time that Doc Searles had linked to me, and then it was just, you know, from there it just went off a cliff. And so everybody that did it like lost a big fortune and of their, you know, whatever bullshit blog share money. And so if as things are kind of creeping upwards, you know, lately, if you are one of those blog share people, it might not be a bad idea to buy shares of this weblog, because people are linking in more than they have been lately. So you might have a little growth potential. I'm just saying, you know. As I have enough, you know, web obsessive compulsive hobbies that, but blog shares just never moved me. I spend enough time on Where's George that, you know, that's pretty much my useless web time spent on that. Blog shares, you know, I used to be on the Hollywood Stock Exchange, and that was just, at some point I said, why aren't I spending this amount of money on my actual real money brokerage accounts at the damn Hollywood Stock Exchange? So I stopped farting around with that. And so last thing I'm going to talk about today, I got a cool email. And this is one of the greatest things about weblogging and talking about bands, is I got an email from Nate of the Siderunners, which is one of the bands that I have talked about on my weblog and made band of the day. You know, kind of like being king of nothing, as I say, being my band of the day. But so I got this album lent to me at work when I was working at Orbitz. And, you know, somebody said, hey, why don't you listen to that? A bunch of us, like, traded CDs amongst ourselves, and we all ripped them to, you know, our iTunes or XMMS or whatever we were using on our computers. And one of the guys lent me this Siderunners, which is somewhere between an alt-country cowpunk band and a straight country band. They kind of work, you know, all along that that field there. And so I got an email from Nate from the Siderunners saying, you know, thanking me for writing about him in the weblog, and saying how he was listening to the audio blog, which seems like a, you know, I thank you, Nate. You know, it seems like a lot of effort to go to, but, you know, I appreciate it, brother. And he was, in his email, it was really funny because he said, dude, I love the RIAA. Just kidding. And his particular thing is he's seeing Gresham's Law, you know, applied in the music business, in the, you know, the bad money drives out good. So he sees, his particular beef is, you know, not the same one as I am. It's the, like, crappy bad band, cover band things are driving out the people who are trying to do originals and trying to do artistically good stuff, don't get the big money shows. It's just these guys who, you know, aren't even trying, and they're going out and playing, you know, Limp Bizkit covers, and they're getting the money. And that's definitely a concern. And, you know, it's probably been a constant concern for, you know, the last 40 years, but I'm with you. And so the Siderunner, I'm going to play a song from the Siderunners, and hopefully Nate won't sue me. And I'll have a link. Get this album. This is a great album. I really, really like it. If you like any of the great cowpunk bands, or even the punk bands, you know, you know, if you like X, you're going to like this band. If you like Jason and the Scorchers, you're going to like this band. I just think they rock. And so I'm going to play one of their songs. There's several of them that I really, really like, and this one, something about it. At the time that I first heard this, I was living in Cook County, so maybe that had a little bit. Cook County Blues from the Siderunners. This is our song of the day.
Well, the jury. Sinking, a given. Cook County Prison. Oh, blue.
Right, there you go. Once again, that's from the Siderunners album Ain't Inventin' the Wheel, and I'll have a link on the text blog at evilgeniuschronicles.org where you can go to their webpage and you can go buy that album. Man, I think it's great. The whole album is like stuff like that. It just rocks. It will rock your ass off. Man, I love this band. And I wish that I had found out about them, you know, earlier than right before I left Chicago, so I had a chance to go see them live. And when I emailed Nate, I hoped that someday they'll tour down through the Southeast and I'll get a chance to go see them and you know, buy them barbecue and maybe put them up in our big house here. When the Grodies, Grodies.com, when the Grodies toured through Atlanta, they stayed at the house and they liked it because we have enough computers. Everyone can check their email at the same time. So, Siderunners, if you come by, we'll work out the same deal. All right. Well, that's been the Evil Genius Chronicles for Saturday, September 18th, 2004. Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you have any feedback, you can email it to dslusher@gmail.com. You can go to the text blog at evilgeniuschronicles.org. And keep listening and keep them BitTorrent windows open. Thank you all. Catch you again next time. Bye.